And so we believe God is calling us to a new age of evangelism. You see, because of the population explosion, there are more people in the world today who know nothing about Jesus than ever before in history.
Tänasel päeval, praegusel hetkel on maailmas rohkem inimesi kui kunagi varem, kes ei tea midagi Jeesusest.
The Christian church is facing its greatest challenge since the first century.
Ja seoses sellega on ju peale esimest sajandit kristlikule kirikule sellega nagu suurim võimalus pöördumises antud ja väljendus pöördumises.
The people separated from Christ are not now in India and Latin America and Africa alone. The people who do not know Jesus Christ don't only live in what we used to call heathen
countries.
Many who do not know Jesus Christ live in Europe and in countries that used to be Christian.
Paljud inimesed neid, kes ei tunne Jeesust, elavad Euroopas ja nendes maades, mida me tavaliselt nimetame kristlikeks maades.
It almost seems as though the Western world is the hardest mission field of all.
Ja me ütleme, et läänemaailm on missioni põlluna kõige raskem põll.
And of course you know how many people around you in your city of Tallinn do not know Jesus.
Ja te teate ka palju sellest linnast, Tallinn linnast ei ümber, palju inimesi ei tea midagi Jeesus.
So the world is full of people who live and die without Jesus.
Täis inimesi, kes sünnivad ja surevad midagi teadmata Jeesus.
Because of this fact, I think the Holy Spirit is calling the church to mission.
Selle tõttu püha vaim on esitanud kutse kirikule kogudusele mission.
Now, the last missionary age in the 19th century was very different.
Viimane missionary aeg 19. sajandil oli väga erinev.
It was based on some countries sending missionaries to other countries to receive them.
Selle oli printsiibik see, et mõni riik saatis välja missionare teisele maale, kes võtsid vastu.
So missionaries left Europe and England, Australia, United States and went to other countries.
Missionaries lahkusid siis Euroopa, Inglismaa, Austraalia, Ühendriikides ja läksid teistele maadele.
They went to Africa and to Asia,
läksid Aafrikasse, Aasiasse, Okeaniasse.
And they, many of them gave their lives for Christ.
Ja paljud neid olid ohvriks oma elu Kristuse pärast.
As a result, the church now is everywhere.
Ja selle tulemusena kristlik kirik on kõikjal.
There is no country on earth where the Christian church is not established.
Pole olemas ühtegi riiki maailmas, kus pole kristliku kirikut.
So we do not think of sending and receiving countries anymore.
Aga üle enam printsiip välja saatvates maades ja vastu võtvates maades.
The new missionary age will be based on the church in every country.
Ja uus missionary aastu põhineb kogudustel igas üksikus maas.
The indigenous church, as we call it, is the agent for mission. The indigenous, the church that belongs within its own culture, has to carry the message.
Ja nüüd on ülesanne missioni edastamisel sellel omal maal välja kujunud kogudusel.
We can help each other from different countries.
Me võime küll aidata üksteist ja erinevate maade vahele kogu teatud selline koostöö.
But God is now looking to the Christians in every country to evangelize their own people.
Kui Jumal vaatab igal maal olevate kristlaste peale, et nad evangeliseeriksid oma ümbruskonda ja oma maad.
And this is happening in a wonderful way.
Ja see toimub imelise viisi.
In Brazil, the Methodist Church is strong in the south.
Brasiilias on Methodist kirik tugev lõunas.
There are no Methodist churches up in the north.
Ja seal ülal kaugel põhjas kui ühte Methodisti kirik.
And there are many non-Christian people up in the north.
Ja seal põhjas on palju kristlikke.
So, the Brazil church is sending Brazilian ministers up to open new work in their own country.
Ja nüüd Brasiilia Methodisti kirik saadab Brasiilia Methodisti vaimulike töötamas me põhjapiirkondades.
I was in Indonesia last year.
Möödunud aastal ma Indoneesia.
For historical reasons, the Methodist Church is strong on the island of Sumatra. But they are just sending Indonesian missionaries to Borneo and to Java, other big
islands.
The same is happening in India. The church is strong in the south, weak in the north. And Indian missionary societies are sending Indians up within their own country.
Yeah, India missionary societies.
I've had a wonderful story from India. In Madras, a group of Christians has formed a new missionary society. They are very poor people. They give what they can to send missionaries up north. Last year, the Coca-Cola Company of America came to that mission society. And they said, we have money that we cannot take out of India. We have some money that we cannot take back to America. And they said to these Indian Christians, we will give you $1 million. And these Christians didn't know what to do. They prayed for 3 months about it. Then they said to the Coca-Cola Company, we hope you will not mind, but we do not want your money. We think it will corrupt us. The people will say it's just foreign money. It will mean we will depend on all this money and not on the Spirit of God. So those Christians turned down $1 million. I thought that was wonderful. And so, in many countries, the church is sending missionaries to its own people. And this is God's new strategy. In the last wonderful missionary age, he put his church everywhere. And now he's looking to the church in each country to reach out with the news of Jesus. Now, the church in some countries is asking the question, what should we do if we are missionaries to our own people? What should we do if we are to be missionaries to our own people?
Kogudused ja kirikud esitavad küsimused, mida me peame tegema, kui meil on...
What more can we do to reach the people in our own country who do not know Jesus?
Mis me peaksime tegema, et me jõuaksime enese oma rahvani, nende inimestele, kes on meie ümber, et neile võiksime Jeesuse Kristuse läbi seda saada. Mida me peaksime tegema?
Countries are asking, where is the church weak? Christians are asking, where is the church weak? In my country, we say, away in the lonely interior of the country. In my country, it's in the new housing areas where there aren't any churches. It's the new ethnic groups that are coming as migrants into the country. People from Asia. People from the Pacific Islands. Or, in my country, the hearts of big cities are the spiritually dead parts of the country.
Sellel maal, kus mina elan, on eriliselt vaimulikult surnud piirkondadeks suurlinnade keskused.
So we are saying that's where we must go and send more witnesses to Christ.
Ja siis me vastame, et need on need piirkonnad, kuhu meie peame minema ja saatma enam Kristuse tunnistajaid.
So this is the new missionary age.
See on siis see uus missioni ajastu.
Each church sitting down and saying, what more can we do? Where can we go to spread the message?
Iga kogudus, kes siis istub maha ja mõtleb, mida võime meie teha? Kuhu me peame välja minema? Mida võime meie teha, et evangeelium võiks levineda?
I know the conditions in Estonia are very
different.
There is much you cannot do that perhaps other countries can. And I believe the call of God is the same everywhere. Within the limitations that we face, how can we reach out to Jesus?
Kutse on, kuidas me võime jõuda inimestele.
We have a saying, love will find a way.
Meil on üks ütlus, armastus leiab tee.
And I believe if we love people enough, we'll find a way.
Ja ma usun, et kui me küllaldaselt armastame inimesi, siis me leiame.
How much do we love the people?
Küsime, et kui palju armastame?
Christ loves them so much he found a way.
Kristus armastas meid nii palju, et ta leidnud.
Even though it meant that cross on the hill.
Ja ei pannud palju seda, et suri Kristi.
And so, here is today's call. Let us go on mission together all over the world.
Et on tänapäeva kutse, lähme koos, missioneerime ühes koos.
Let us get on our hearts and souls. The people who know not Jesus.
Ja olgu need inimesed, kes ei tunne Jeesus meie südametel ja meie meeldus.
Let us yearn, pray for a religious revival.
Valvetame igatseme vaimulik värkamise järel.
But as we wait, we work.
Kui aga ootame, siis me töötame selle.
We go on witnessing in every way that it happens.
Ja lähme välja tunnistama kõik nende võimalustega, mis on meie jaoks avatud.
We are called to a new missionary.
Meil on ette kutse uuele missioni
ajastu. Now, world evangelism believes the local congregation of Christians is the basic unit for mission.
Ja maailm evangelismi valitsus või see konventsioon arvab, et põhi tähendab aluseks missioni töö on kohalik kogus.
Jesus had a wonderful strategy.
Jeesusel oli imeline strateegia.
He said, I will put a group of my followers down here, there, and everywhere.
Ta pani oma järgetus ühe gruppi, siia teise gruppi, teise paika ja kõikale.
They will be the radiating centers for my message.
Need olid need nagu välja kiirgavad keskused, mis seda sõnumit edasi andis.
And how else could a world be reached?
Ja kuidas oleks muidu olnud maailma jõuda?
The Pope can come and go.
Paab, kui saan kõik oma tali käia.
Billy Graham can preach here and there.
Billy Graham ka jõua igal kõrg.
But the local Christians stay there.
Aga kohalikud uskikud, nemad on seal paigal.
It is through the local Christians that the gospel is going to spread.
Ja kohalik uskike kaudu evangeelium peab edasi levima.
This is why world evangelism is trying to help the local church to be on mission.
Ja sellepärast meie maailma evangelismist tahame just eriliselt aidata kohalike kogudusi missioni töös.
We are praying that local churches will just begin to turn around and face the world and seek to bring new people to Christ.
Me palvetame, et kohalike kogudused nagu pöörduksid ja maailma poole ja hakkaksid uusi inimesi võitma Kristuse.
Now, let me ask the question, what should be a local church be like if it is a missionary church?
Kas oleks nüüd teise küsimuse, et millisena peaks välja nägema kohalik kogudus, et ta oleks missioni kogudus?
So many churches are maintenance churches, are stationary churches.
Väga paljud kogudused on institutsionaalse või nagu ilma selle eluta kogudus.
Many churches spend their time just caring for the people that they are already linked to.
Ja paljud kogused tegelevad ainult nende inimeste, kes on neil juba olen. Kogu tegelus teeb ainult nende inimeste, kes on olen.
And that is the sure way to decline.
Ja siis voi imeä kuin ne kokoukset vähenevät.
Unless we are making new Christians, we cannot grow.
Ja kun me ei saa uusi uskoja juurte, loppuun me ei saa kasvaa.
Death comes to all people.
Ja sitten tulee meitä.
Unless we are making disciples for Jesus, the church cannot fulfill its mission.
Ja kun me ei voida uusi jäljelläkäyjä Jeesukselle, siis ei täytä kokoukset olla mission.
Now, how can the church become a missionary church?
Kuidas yks kokoukset ei muuttuta siis missionary kokoukset?
What could every local body of Christians be doing if they are on mission?
Mitä siis sitä se yksi kokoukset pitää tekemään, että sellaiset
Let me give three principles.
Mä tahaksin antaa kolme prinsiippiä.
First,
ensiksi,
the church that is truly on mission must plan evangelistic worship and evangelistic preaching.
Kokoukset, jos tahaa mission työtä tehdä, pitää planeerimaan evangelismi työ ja evankeliumi kohtoleva Jumalan edessä.
This is not true of many churches.
Ja paljon kokoukset, vahvistuneet ihmiset eivät ole.
They are only nurture churches. They just care for the flock that God has given them.
Ne on niin kuin meditsiini tulee kokoukset, että ne ovat ainoat huolitsevat ne ihmiset, jotka ovat tullut.
Therefore, if we are to be on mission, we have to think evangelistically.
Ja se välillä, kun me tahamme missioni työt tehdä, me pitämme muuttelemaan evankeliumista.
I was influenced years ago by a discovery I made in church history.
Monet asiat pakoivat vain ihmeelliset mojuttatumme avastukset, mitä mä tekin kirikkojalla.
In the early church, there were two kinds of worship.
Varastus kokoutukset, alle kristi kokoutukset, oli olemassa ainut kaksi Jumalan teinistössä kokoutukset.
The first is described in the book of Acts.
Ensimmäisessä kunnetakse apostolien raamatus.
The early Christians broke bread from house to house.
Mutti leipä majasta.
This was the nurturing church.
Se oli sen aku, no,
the caring church, looking after each other.
Se on niinku huolissa, voi huolta, voi niinku meditsiini yleensä, kun se on tehtävä.
This was the church building up its own members.
Se oli kokoutus, missä ehdistäisi ylös oman ihmisen.
But there was a second kind of worship.
Oli olemassa vielä teinen Jumala ehdistää viikko.
It was for pagans.
Se oli paganat jaoks.
It started where the people were who didn't know Christ.
Ja sai alkuun sellega, kun tuli ihmiset, jotka ei tunnut Kristus.
And so there was a second kind of worship.
Oli olemassa siis sellega, teistikki Jumala viikko.
And the preaching and the witness try and make new Christians.
Tunnistaminen ja juttus sille esimerkiksi, että saa voittaa uusi Kristus.
Now many local churches today have forgotten that early church insight.
Ja kahdeksi paljon kohdalliset kokoukset on unustanut ära sille teisen Jumalan orkeen.
So much worship is just for those who are already Christians.
Paljon Jumalan ensin peittääksi nende jaoks, kes on jo uskoja.
In my country, we used to have two services on Sunday morning and Sunday night.
Minä olen, meillä on tavaksana pyhäpäivän kaksi Jumalan ensin. Yksi on siis pyhäpäivän hommikku, ja teinen on pyhäpäivän välttämättä.
We used to say, we preach to the saints in the morning and the sinners at night.
Ja me ystämme, että hommikku juttuspäivän pyhäpäivän juttuun patustuun.
In other words, the morning worship was for people who love Christ.
Se sanotega, hommikku Jumalan ensin, on ennen ihmiset, arvostaa Kristus.
The evening worship was to try and make new Christians.
Yeah, ultimately, some ends up to start a new Christian.
But then along came television.
Then
along came television.
Ah, the East through the television.
And the night services in Western countries have gone down and down.
The East and West through my veins have been a matter of fact for the last 100 years.
Many of them have closed.
Why do you think you are in the band? The only one who's through my veins.
So we have many churches that just have one service.
Ja paljon kokoutuksia on, kun sanoit yksi Jumalan venissä.
It's the morning service.
Omikun Jumalan venissä.
It's for the saints.
Se on pyhäkkäyttävä.
Poor old sinners have missed their service.
Ja vaikuttavat vastuut, että ei tule Jumalan
venissä. So, we've got church in many places that is not evangelistic anymore.
Ja meillä on paljon kokoutuksia, paljon paikkoja, missä on yksi evangelista.
And I am convinced that we...
One evangelist.
We must see how to plan worship and preach for people who aren't yet Christian.
me peame planeerima ja me peame jutustama nende inimestele, kes ei ole uskunud.
In our part of the world, I'd like to see us take hold of Sunday night and use it for a minute.
Minu selles piirkonnas, kus mina tahaksin, et me kasutaksime ära pühapäeva õhtu selleks, et uusi kristlasi võita.
No, I do not know your condition.
Ma ei tea, kuidas on teie olukorra.
Forgive my
andestage mulle.
But I was interested in Hungary last Sunday after the evening worship we went for a walk.
Ma imestasin, et Ungaris möödunud pühapäeval pärast õhtust Jumala teenistust me läksime jalutuskäigule.
There were thousands of people just walking up and down the street.
Tuhanded inimesed jalutasid mööda tänavaid.
I wondered, would they perhaps be reached if there were worship going on somewhere?
Ja siis ma mõtlesin, võib-olla oleks nende inimesteni võiduks kuidagi jõuda, kui kuskil oleks Jumala teenist olnud. Tähendab, Jumala teenist õhtu ei olnud.
I would like to see in many countries Sunday night redeemed for evangelism.
Ja ma tahaksin näha paljudes maades pühapäeva õhtut kui ühte õhtut evangelistlikest koosolekust.
Every local church ought to have two kinds of worship.
Igas kohalikus kogutus peaks olema kaks Jumala teenist.
One is to build up the Christians.
Üks, et usklik üles ehitada.
The other is to try and persuade people who are not yet Christian to accept Christ.
Ja teiseks Jumala teenist, milles me peaksime nõudma nende inimesteni, et ei tunne Jeesuse, nad võiksid vastu võtta Kristuse.
And in our preaching of that second kind of service, we have to preach about justification by faith very often.
Ja nendel teistlik Jumala teenistel me peame väga tihti jutustama usust õigeks mõistmiseks.
We have to take subjects that help people to start on the Christian road.
Me peaksime võtma sellised teemasid, et inimesed võiksid alustada oma kristliku teekonda.
Show people how to become a prophet.
Näidate inimesele, kuidas saab uskuda.
We have to design our worship that will attract that kind of person.
Me peame Jumala teenistel nii üles ehitama, et see kuidagi meelitav mõjuks inimesele.
And our own Christian people must be encouraged to bring not yet Christian friends to that kind.
Ja me peame julgustama oma usklikke koguse liikmed, et nad võtaksid Jumala teenistustesse kaasa neid inimesi, kes ei ole uskunud.
And so my first principle is that
ja esine printsiip oleks
the local church think evangelistically.
Kohalik kogudus mõtleks evangelistlikult.
How can we plan worship? How can we preach to bring people?
Kuidas me planeerime Jumala teenistust? Kuidas me jutustame?
I do not want to weary you, but so many churches are not doing it today.
Ma ei taha täna tüüdata, aga ma veel kordan, et väga palju kogudusi täna seda veel ei tee.
Everything is planned and designed by Christians for Christians.
Kus on olemas olukord, kus kõik planeeritakse kristlaste poolt, kristlaste jaoks.
Let us remember the church exists for the world. It does not exist for itself.
Peame alati meeles, et kogudus eksisteerib maailma jaoks, mitte iseenese jaoks.
And if we love the world, we shall plan to try and reach that world.
Ja kui me armastame maailma, siis me peame niimoodi planeerima tööd ja tegema seda tööd, et me jõuaksime maailma.
The second principle for the local church is
teine printsiip kohalikule kogudusele
is that it must be the servant church.
Et see peab olema teenistus kogudus.
It must care for people in all their needs that may be on that day.
Ja peab hoolitsema kõikide vanaditega nende inimeste eest, kes saab ühiskonnast või piirkonnast ette juhtunud.
Let me ask you to think about what happened in the last supper room in Jerusalem.
Mis toimus pühtusöömaja ajal Jerusalemas?
Jesus knew he was only once more going to be able to talk to his disciples.
Jeesus teadis, et see oli temale viimane võimalus kõnelda oma jüngritele.
He must have thought and planned and prayed, say, what will be the last message I'll give to my men?
Ta oli palvetanud, ta oli seda planeerinud ette näinud, see on viimane läkitus, mille ma annan.
So he took his disciples in that upper room in Jerusalem.
Ja siis ta viib oma jüngrid ülemiste tuppa Jerusalemmas.
Two things happened in that last upper room.
Seal ruumis kaks asja toimus.
Jesus really gave to his disciples not one, but two sacraments.
on siis tõeliselt seal oma jüngritel mitte ühe, vaid kaks sakramenti.
First of all, he took bread and wine.
Esiteks on siis võttis leiva ja karika.
He gave it to his disciples.
Ta on siis oma jüngritele.
He said, do this in remembrance of my coming sacrifice.
Ja siis ütles, tehke seda minu mälestuseks, minu surma mälestuseks.
Then he took a towel and a basin. Then he took a towel and a basin of water and washed the disciples' feet.
Siis ta võttis ühe nõu koos veega ja pesi jüngrite jalad.
And when that had been finished, he said, really, do this in remembrance of me.
Ja siis, kui see oli lõpetav, siis ütles, tehke seda.
And so Jesus put in his disciples' hands bread and wine and a towel and a basin.
Nii et siis Jeesus Kristus pani oma jüngrite kätte nagu siis leiva ja karika ja ühe veenõu.
He put together worship and work.
Ta pani kokku siis Jumala teenistuse ja töö.
Sacrament and service.
Sakramendi ja teenistuse.
But what he put together, we have put asunder. We have put apart.
Kui see, selle kõik, mida tema nagu kokku pani ühte, meie oleme nagu eraldanud.
The church has been very faithful over Holy Communion.
Kogused on pühtus ööma talitus olnud väga ustavad.
We are not nearly interested in the symbols of service.
Kui me oleme väga vähe olnud huvitatud nende teenistuse sümbolitest.
But I am convinced the church that is evangelistic has to have both in their hands.
Aga see kogudus, mis tahab olla evangelistik, peab oma mõlemit oma käes.
The church that only worships God.
See Jumala, see kogudus, mis ainult peab Jumala teenistusi sure. Selle tähendab, Jumala teenistusi selles tähenduses nii nagu
The church that worships and serves people lives.
Aga see kogudus, mis peab Jumala teenistusi ja teenib inimesi, see elab.
Now here, let me speak about something that I know cannot apply to you.
Ma nüüd tahaksin rääkida mõned asjad, mis küll võib-olla teile ei sobi, teie olukorrad reaalse.
But you might like to know.
Aga võib-olla teil on huvitav, mis kuulab.
What a church, a Methodist church in Australia is doing.
Mida näiteks Austraalia Methodisti kirikus teeb?
Almost 100 years ago, the Australian Methodist Church started a new policy.
Umbes 100 aastat tagasi Austraalia Methodisti kirikus võeti nagu üks uus suund.
It was to tie together the worship and the work, the sacrament and the service of the Lord.
Püüti nagu ühendada Jumala teenistus ja ka teenistus, ühesõnaga sakramentide teenistus, koguduse teenistus.
For the past 21 years, I have been the pastor of this big church in the center of Sydney.
Ma olen 21 aastat olnud Sydney ühes suures koguduses, vaimulikus.
There are 280 Methodist churches in Sydney.
Methodisti kirikus on praegu Sydney.
But this was the central church.
Ja, aga see oli keskkogus.
Now, in Australia, as in many countries, we have hospitals and schools run by the church.
Nii nagu ka teistes maades on Austraalias kirikul haiglad, koolid.
In America, they have homes for the aged, and children's homes, and hospitals, all run by the church.
Ameerikas on veel vanade kodud, lastele, igasugused jaotused. Kõik neid on kirik, hoolda, haiglad.
But in these other countries, these social agencies are run by the conference, by the boards of the church, by the annual conference, by the top level boards of the church, the ones that direct.
Ja siis terve see juhtimine, see oli siis ka kaasta konverentsi või siis seal vastavate ametikandjate käes.
Often the social works of the church become separated from the worship life of the church.
Ja väga tihti see sotsiaalne töö nagu eraldus, Jumala teenistus.
In Australia it is different.
Australia on selline.
All these hospitals and homes and agencies for service are the responsibility of local congregations.
Austraalias on nii, et kõik need haiglad, et koolid ja veel muud kirikvastutused on vastutavad kohalike koguduste eest.
The church where I have been all these years started that policy nearly 100 years ago.
Ja see kogudus, kus ma olen töötanud need aastat, just sai alguse sellest uues suunas.
This church in Sydney, one church.
Üks kogudus Sydney.
We had 23 And it's all the responsibility of one congregation. The membership is like yours in Tallinn, about 1150. But this group of people is serving as well as worshipping. I believe one of the strengths of Methodism in Australia is because it has put together worship and service.
Ma arvan, et Austraalia metodismi üheks tugevuseks on just need samane prinsiip, et on kokku pandud Jumala teenimine ja ka teenimise teenimine.
Perhaps the biggest of our serving ways is through the telephone.
Võib-olla meie suurem meie teenistusvõimalus on, või töö on telefoni kaudu.
When I was appointed to this church 23 years ago, I had a television and a radio program every week.
And
I used to get many telephone calls from strangers who were in trouble. Often in the middle of the night and on weekends, people
were in trouble.
So I formed the idea, what if we had Christians sitting at the telephone 24 hours every day? So in 1963 we opened what we called Lifeline Center. We trained our Christian lay people to sit at the telephone on rosters 24 hours a
day.
Today we received 40,000 telephone calls from people in trouble every year. We have found a way to meet people's needs. But I know all this is impossible here. But let me just show the principle. Some time ago, we went to Sri Lanka. For a mission. My wife went out to talk at a little town called Pananjura. She told the story about this telephone ministry in
Sydney.
After three women came up, all excited. They said, we've got a Lifeline center in our village.
Walker
said, have you? We didn't know about that.
They had all this.
They said, we heard about your Sydney center 10 years ago. Nobody had telephones in our
village.
What can we do to help them? So we looked at our village. They said, we found that many of the poor people couldn't pay for an ambulance to take them to the hospital.
Ja siis nad märkasid, et palju oli vaesed inimesi, kes ei jõudnud maksta selle eest, et kiirega autoga neid haigata viia.
we found we had 5 cars in our congregation.
En ihmisen lehtiö, meidän kokoukset on 5 autoa.
So we told the village, if anybody needs to be taken to hospital, we will take them without any problem.
Ja sitten me teatimme kyläelanikille, kun kellekin tarvitsee paikassa jousa, siis meidän viime ilmarakki.
Then they said, we found many poor girls couldn't afford a special dress for their wedding day.
Sitten leikin saa verreä, vaikka tytärlapsi, kellelle on niin paljon rahaa, että omalle kulmarinterossa.
So they said, we've had a wardrobe built in our, one of our church rooms.
Ja sitten meillä oli täällä yhdessä kokoutustoassa, jotka ne riitakaan ehdistetut.
And we said to these poor girls, we can let you have a wedding dress for your wedding.
Ja sitten hän ansiittää
tämän tälle, vaikka tytärlapselle. And then they said, we discovered the poorest families couldn't afford a coffin when somebody died to be buried.
Ja sitten hän leitti vielä vakavaiset perekontit, kenellä oli ollut voinut murehtia omaa
So we built a shed and had a lot of coffins of different size.
Ja siis hän tehti sitten murehtisit perheeseen aika erinomaisesta suuruudesta kirstasta.
And when poor families faced bereavement, we gave them a coffin.
Ja siis kun oli tarkoitukselle äärelle, niin hän oli.
I was deeply moved by that.
Mä olin sellaista aika syvällä.
You are very poor Christians finding ways of helping very
siinä on
poor
people. Rakaa, vaatit Kristus, koos, jossa meitä on. Tein, kuidas tein vaatit Kristus?
I am certain that true evangelism will show a caring church.
Ja mä uskon, että oikea evankelista on näistä yhteen huolittava. Kun tuo mennessä välillä, että huolittava.
We must have a towel and our faith in our hands.
Meidän kättäs olema se veenu ja se.
And the third principle for the local church.
Ja kolmanneksi prinsiipiksi kohdalliselle kokoukselle.
Is that it offers rich and deep fellowship.
Että pakkus rikkaalikku ja syvää osatusen.
I mentioned our telephone ministry.
Mä mainitsin sitä telefonitiinistä.
When we began, we thought we were just meeting the needs of
Sydney.
But God had bigger ideas.
Kui Jumala oli suuremmat planit.
Soon it spread.
Vastasi laajeni.
Now there are telephone ministries like Sydney in 190 cities around the world.
Ja nyt on yllä koko maailma.
190.
Ja praeguse hetki on yllä koko maailma. Paavesti telefoniteenistuksen punkti üle kogu maailma 190.
So I wrote to all these centers recently and asked them a question.
Ja nyt alle silti ma kirjoitusin kirja kõikidele nende keskustele küsin.
I wrote to these people and said, what are the most common human problems that you hear on the telephone?
Mis on kõige suurem probleem? Põhiline probleem, mida inimesed telefoni teel teile teavad?
Took the answers from Cape Town and Chicago.
Kui mä sain vastuset Kaplinnasta, Chicagosta.
From New York and New York, Tokyo.
New Yorkista ja Tokios.
All these cities.
Kaikissa niissä linnoissa.
I found the most common human problem in the world.
Ja siis mä leitsin, että kõige yltisemmaksi ja kõige põhilisemmaksi inprobleemiksi maailmassa.
Islam.
On yksilöis.
Just one.
Mitä?
All big cities are full of lonely people.
Suuret linnat on täys yksinäisiä.
And we have an answer to them.
Ja meillä on vastus yksinäisille.
The fellowship of the church.
On apostolista.
And so I believe.
Ja niin mä uskon.
We, if we're going to be evangelistic, have to develop the fellowship potential of the church.
Kun me tahamme olla töölliset evankelistikot, siis me peamme rajaamme osaatuksen.
Now again, I feel very uncertain as to what to say.
Ma tunnen ka praegu kuidagi jälle uuesti ebakindlust, mida öelda.
Forgive me again if I'm saying something that is impossible.
Andestage mulle jälle, kui ma räägin midagi, mis on võimalik.
But we have found that as with worship, being evangelistic and looking after Christians,
kui me Jumala teenistus on evangelistlik ja me hoolitseme Kristuste,
fellowship can be for the building up of Christians, or it can be used evangelistically. If there are many lonely people, perhaps fellowship can be used to bring them toward Christ.
Kui on väga palju üksildad inimesi, siis osadus saab selleks vahendiks neile, mille kaudu nad võivad tulla Kristuse juurde.
In my view, every church ought to have two kinds of fellowship.
Ja minu arvates, igas koguduses, mis on siis need kaks erinevat osaduse vormi.
One is to build up Christians.
Üks on siis kustlik ülesehitamise, Kristus ülesehitamise.
This means groups of Bible study and sharing and prayer. Every church must have groups that are seeking the power of the Holy Spirit upon the
church. Igas koguses peavad olema allgrupid, mis igatsevad püha vaimuga täitmist.
That is utterly important.
See on äärmiselt oluline.
But there can be fellowship used to bring people to Christ.
Kuid on olemas ka veel võimalus osaduste jaoks, mis võiksid inimesi tuua Kristuse juurde.
As well as caring for them after they come there.
Loomulikult, kui nad on tulnud Jeesus Kristuse juurde, siis tuleb ka edasi nende eest ootama.
And so, in our church in Sydney,
näiteks meie kogudus Sydney,
we have many activities that help people come toward the church responding to them.
Meil oli terve rida tegevus harusid, mis aitasid kaasa selleks, et inimesed tulid ja andsid oma elu Kristusele.
You see, every society is made up of a lot of subcultures, of groups.
Me teame, et iga ühiskond on üles ehitatud erinevates allkultuurides või subkultuurides, gruppides, väiksemates allüksustes.
And we ought to break down society into its groupings.
Me teame nagu iga ühiskonna väikesteks, väiksemateks, osadeks ja gruppideks jagama.
For example, most churches do everything for families and marriage.
Võibolla paljud kogudused teevad väga palju perekondade heaks ja abielu heaks.
But in today's world there are so many single people.
Kuid on olemas täna ka maailmas nii palju üksi.
People who have never married or late married.
Inimesi, kes pole kunagi abielus olnud.
And people who have been married but are divorced or bereaved.
Või kes on olnud abielus, on lahutatud.
They are very lonely.
Nad on väga üksildad.
So years ago, I said, what can we do for single people?
Ja mõned aastat tagasi ma ka mõtlesin, mida me võime enda üksildat inimesi jaoks teha.
After a lot of experimenting, we started Sydney Single Society.
Ja pärast mitmeid eksperimente me alustasime Sydney üksikühinguga.
We were amazed how many people came because they were lonely as single people.
Ja me olime hammastunud, kui palju inimesi tuli, kes olid üksindad.
And then we thought of senior people, old people.
Ja siis me mõtlesime vanadumisega.
The average lifespan of an Australian is 72 years.
72 aastat on Austraalias, kes meie võiga.
People still retire at 60 and 65.
65 aastat on pensionile inimesed tavaliselt.
Well, what do they do? Sit around for 20, 25 years waiting to die.
Mis nad siis teevad? Istuvad ja 25 aastat ootavad surma.
Many of them lonely in their little rooms.
Mõned on väga üksinda, üksinda oma toakest.
So we said, what can we do for older people?
Siis me mõtlesin, mis me võiksime nende vanade inimesed.
So we started what we call school for seniors.
Siis me alustasime, no mida me nimetame nagu see, no vanemate kooli, või vanemate inimeste, vana inimeste kooli.
School for
seniors.
And we offered people different interests and learning experiences.
Ja siis me pakkusime inimeste erinevaid võimalusi. Ja erineva huviala järgi.
We said, come and learn a new language.
Näiteks, tulge kokku, jõppime tegiks see uue keel.
Come and learn to paint.
Tulge jõppime maalime.
Come and learn about the Bible.
Tulge jõppime tiidist.
And again, we were amazed how many people came.
Siis me jälle olid hammastunud, kui palju inimesi.
We had Christian older people working among them, often praying. Every time they met, there was worship and the preaching briefly of the gospel. And so people who did not know Christ came, because they were lonely, to some fellowship the church offered. And then we were always trying and praying to lead them on to the deepest fellowship of all, the deepest fellowship with
Jesus.
Well, I'm saying, I don't know what's possible in this study. I'm sure there are lonely people in
doubt.
I'm sure we have the answer to loneliness in the fellowship of Christ. We have the answer in the fellowship of the church. Now these principles, as I've said, apply in different ways in different countries. But I believe the principles are sound. I believe for the local church, the principles of evangelical worship and evangelical preaching is the right thing to do. Secondly, I'm sure that the church must be the caring church. And thirdly, the church must be a fellowship center for the people. If it sets out to meet the loneliness of today's world, we can find the highway to the heart of the world. If it sets out to meet the needs of the lonely, and so here is a way in which the basic unit for mission, the local congregation, can reach the
Lord.
Let us then have some discussion together. It was found that 87% of the new members came because a member of the church had spoken to them as a friend or a relative. In other words, it was person-to-person
evangelism.
By the congregation that brought all those new members, 87%. They spend a lot of time training their members, showing them how to reach out.
Ja praegu nad siis väga palju aega pühendavad sellele, et need inimesed ettevalmistavad kogukonna liikmeid selleks, kuidas
they put before their people the best way to bring people to Christ is for lay people to talk about it to others and bring them to the
church.
I cannot answer that question. As perhaps you know, the Methodist Church 2 years ago combined with the Presbyterian and the Congregational to make a new church called the Uniting Church in Australia. so all our membership roles are confused.
Ja praegu nagu see liikmeskonna statistika on veel välja selgimata.
So I cannot say what has been the picture over the last few years, which was getting ready for union and then union, has thrown a great deal of confusion.
Sest enne seda ühinemiseks valmistumine ja pärast ühinemist on palju segatud, mitte erinevast paikudest, nii et praegu väga raske juba.
But as in all Western countries,
aga nii nagu kõikis Läänemaades,
we have found it very difficult to make new Christians.
On siiski üsna raske saada uusi liikmeid.
We have been holding our own, but we haven't been making too many new Christians in the last 10 years. Now there are many churches that are growing, but the overall picture is one of just being
stationary.
There has been a revolution in music in the last 25 years. And yet, in the church, we are carrying on with the same slow
music.
And we still stick with the
organ.
And I think that modern young people don't like the organ, don't they? So in the work we attended in Sydney, we often had the two kinds of music.
Ja selles töös meil Sydneys on olnud väga tihti nagu kahe laadne muusika.
We always had two or three hymns of the older kind.
Meil on olnud kaks või kolm niisugused vanalaadsed üldlaulu.
But on the evangelistic service on Sunday night,
aga evangelistikal jumalateenistustel pühapäeva õhtuti,
we often had a youth band to play
on
the service.
North ensemble me mängis siis jumalateenistuste keskel.
And we would sing some of their fast rhythm hymns.
Ja siis me oleme nendega koos ka nende kiired laulud ühestpoolt laulud.
The older people didn't like them.
No, vanalateenistustel ei meeldinud.
We had to say to them, the young people don't like the hymns you're singing. So
siis ütlen tore viis, aga meil ei meeldi neid laulu, mida teie laulu.
So you have to be tolerant.
Ja siis me peame olema nagu võtaks sallivad mõlem.
But we went further than that.
Kui me oleme edasi olnud.
We often had, after the evangelistic service for everybody, we would have a special evangelistic service for you.
Meil on olnud pärast seda, kui üldine evangelistik koos oleks lõppenud, on meil eraldi noote olnud. Evangeelne Jumala teine.
That would have all their music.
Ja seal võib teha ükskõik.
And so I think here we have to try and bring the two generations together.
Ja siin me peaksime lihtsalt tegema kõik selleks, et need kaks erinevat põlvkonda on kohtu tulla.
But I'm afraid most churches will not make any concession, any movement toward youth. They just carry on.
Peab seda märkima, et enamik kogudude siiski ei taha nagu nootele üheski punkti järel anda. Ja on väga konservatiivne.
So in youth camps and youth activities, we really tried to listen to their music and to listen to what they were saying.
Siis noorte üritustel, noorte laagritesse me oleme siis püüdnud
koska no te muusikat kuulatte tätä mitä he
and we have used testimony, have young people telling what Christ means to them.
Meillä on niin kuin levinnyt tämmöiset nuorten tunnistukset, nuoret tunnistavat sellaista, missä Kristus on meidän elossa tehnyt.
But nobody suggested to me.
We don't know what
Australia is a very big country and a lot of very small towns.
Kun Australia on väga suur maa ja väga palju väikseid linnu.
It was foolish to have a Presbyterian and a Methodist church in some of those very small towns.
Siis oli väga rumal, et väga pisikesed linnakesed on Methodistin kirik ja Presbyterian.
That's where the union idea developed.
Ja see on ka põhjuseks, kus see ühinemise idee tegelikult pärit.
And I think it is doing good work in helping the strengthening of the work in lonely places.
Mõttes oli väga positiivne, et tugevdas nendes üksikutes väikestes paikades ta töö.
So I voted for you.
Mina isiklikult hääletasin ühenduse poolt.
But if I had to vote again, I wouldn't.
Aga kui ma peaksin uuesti hääletama, siis ma enam ei oleks.
We have found so many problems.
Meil on palju probleeme.
And mainly, many of the Presbyterians stayed out of union, so we still have a Presbyterian.
Ja Erik, just sõidat, et paljud presbyterasid jäid sellest ühendusest välja, ja meil on ikka olemas presbyterasid.
So, it has been a disappointment so far.
Ja see on olnud väga sügavalt. Ja mida apostlid tegid, neli tühipäeva.
Now this could worship without communion and without meaningful Christmas.
See oli Jumala teenistus ilma pöntusööma tarvitusega. Ja mitte ainult
but we do not know very much about the regular way that they preach to non-Christians.
Kui me teame väga vähe, me teame midagi sellest, kuidas nad pidevalt regulaarselt kuulutasid Jesus.
We know, for example, a man like Philip had tremendous power in Samaria preaching the gospel.
Teame, et näiteks Filippusel oli eriline meeleavaldatud piirkonnas jutustada.
So there were certainly the two kinds of witness from the New Testament days.
Ja siis selgelt nendes Uue Testamenti päevade oli kahe raamiline tunnistus.
It appears that it was largely a preacher standing up and preaching. So doing it in the open air with a non-Christian world.
Ja see näi niimoodi, et üks mees, kes jutus seal tõusis üles vabas õhus ja jutus nendele, kes jutus üles.
Well, now this cannot be done here. So it's tougher than in New Testament.
Meil on natuke erine kui Uue Testament. Moodun, et kui kirikute maailma nõukogu loodi, siis ta oli üks suur saavutus.
We brought together on a world level Christians of all denominations.
See tõi siis maailma tasandil kokku usklikke väga erinevates uskondades.
It brought into relationship the Orthodox world and the Protestant world for the first time since the 6th century.
Ja kuuendas sajandis peale siis esimest korda tõi ta kokku selle õigeusu maailma ja protestantliku maailma.
And I think the World Council of Churches has done many fine things.
Ja muusun, et kirikute maailma nõukogu on väga palju head teinud.
But
aga
it is not strong in abandoning.
Kui ta on mitte tugevalt evangeliumis.
And I am very disappointed in the World Council of Churches attitude to mission and abandoning.
Ja ma olen kirikute maailma nõukogu suhtumises missionisse ja evangelismi väga pettunud.
I was in Melbourne, Australia in last month for the conference that the World Council called on mission and evangelism.
Näiteks möödunud kuul maikuus peeti Melbourne'is kirikute maailma nõukogu missioni konverentsi. Ma olin ka seal kohal.
I believe it was a very disappointing conference.
Ja ma usun, et see oli väga pettumust valmistav konverents.
It was only about social action.
Ainult kõneldes sotsiaalsetest, sotsiaalteenistusest.
Now that's an important part of the gospel.
See on muidugi loomulikult tähtis osa evangeeliumist.
The church must be working to get rid of racism in South Africa.
Kirikud muidugi peavad olema rasismi vastu Lõuna-Aafrikas.
And overcoming poverty.
Ja vajaduse vastu.
But this conference did not speak much about conversion.
Sellel konverentsil ei räägitud mitte palju pöördumisest.
And the Holy Spirit hardly did mention.
Ja püha vaimu vaevalt nimetas.
So I fear the World Council of Churches at present is heading in something of a wrong direction.
Ja minu arvates kirikute maailmanõgu läheb praeguse hetkel valesse.
But there are many people praying for it, and many faithful people within its life.
Kui siiski paljud inimesed palvetavad selle pärast, ja ka nende ridades on väga palju uskavaid.
And I think we ought to continue to seek to bring it to a true purpose.
Me peame siiski lootma ja palvetama tegema kõik selleks, et nagu õigele eesmärgile tagasi juurde.
Of course, to be fair, I think we ought to remember one fact.
Selle kartusega seoses me peame meeles pidama ühte asjaolu.
In 1961, at New Delhi, a principle was affirmed.
1961. aastal võeti vastu New Delhis üks otsus, et võin siit.
The principle was laid down that evangelism, mission, was the business of the churches.
Et evangelism ja mission on kirikute asja.
Not the Council of Churches.
Mitte kirikute nõukogu.
And so since then the World Council of Churches has had conferences about evangelism as in Melbourne.
Ja sellest päevast peale on kirikute maailma nõukogu pidanud siis konverentse evangelismi.
But it is not able to do evangelism.
Kuid nad ei ole võimelised seda ise tegema või läbi.
That's left to the constituent churches.
See on nüüd nagu ametlikult antud igale liikmes kirikule.
That's why world Methodism is engaged in evangelism.
Ja sellepärast on ka põhjus selleks, miks näiteks maailma metodism on nüüd nagu kokku liitunud evangelismi teenistus.
It's their job.
See on meie töös.
And I think that's why the World Council is weak in this area.
Ja ma usun ka, et see on ka põhjus, miks kirikute maailma nõukogu on selles osas nõud.
You don't learn how to be evangelistic sitting down talking about it.
Sest istudes maas ja kõnedes ja rääkides ja vaieldes, kuidas saada evangelistikuks sellega jõuakavad.
This conference will not be of much use unless after talking about it, you go and do it.
Ja ka sellest pärandest meie koos istumisest pole midagi erilist kasu, kui me lähme sama targan ära ja mitte midagi ei tee.
I think the real discoveries in evangelism are made in action.
Vaid ma ütleksin, et tõelised avastused evangelismis on vaid tegutsed.
I've found the story of the Old Testament to be true.
Ja siis seoses sellega üks vana testamendi lugu on tõeline.
You remember there were three young Hebrews thrown by Nebuchadnezzar into a burning fiery furnace.
Mäletate, et kuningas Nebukadnezari poolt kolm Hebrea noormest visat tulise sahki.
And as those three young men were in the furnace, something happened.
Ja kui need kolm meest välistel tulise sahju, siis midagi juhtus.
Nebuchadnezzar said, isn't there a fourth there like the Son of Man?
Kas see neljas ei ole mitte inimese poja sarnane?
It was in the furnace that the Son of Man joined those three young men.
See oli tulises ahtus, kus inimese poeg liikus.
It's in the furnace, it's in the struggle.
See on võitlus, tulises ahtus, see on võitlus, kus Kristus meiega liikus.
He doesn't, I think, come as often as we think when we draw back from life, but as we plunge.
Me tihti arvame, et me tõmbame elus tagasi, siis tuleb Kristus meie juurde. Eile me just mineme edasi.
So, taking whatever strength or weakness we have and plunging in faith, trying to do something more for Christ, then he joins us.
Ja kas me oleme nõrgad või tugevad, jõuvetud või võimsad, kui me võtame kõik selle jõu kokku, tahame midagi teha, igata midagi teha, lähme välja, siis tuleb Kristus meie kaas.
So, because the World Council says itself, we cannot do evangelism, they'll never know much about it.
Ja kui kuna kirikute maailma nõukogu ütleb, et me ei saa teha evangelismi, loomulikult on midagi nähtud.
When something important is neglected by Christ's church,
kui midagi väga olulist on ignoreeritud või kõrvalehiitatud Kristuse koguduses,
he brings some new people into being to draw attention to what is being forgotten.
Kristus toob esile uued inimesed, kes juhivad tähelepanu sellele.
So when the church in the 18th century forgot evangelism, he brought forth John Wesley to do it.
Kristi kirik 18. sajandil kaotas evangelismi, siis Jumal tõi John Wesley, kes juhtis tähelepanu sellele.
Most of the main churches have been neglecting the Holy Spirit.
Ja suuri osa suurtes kirikutes nagu hoidis eemale või ignoreerin sellest tähendusest püha vaimu.
And so I think he brought the spirit that God brought into being, the charismatic movement, to remind us of the importance of the spirit.
Ja sellega seoses Jumal tõi ellu karismaatilise liikumise, sellega meile meelde tuletada püha vaimu tähtsust.
Now I think it has been extreme at some place.
Muidugi mõningates kohtades on see äärmus.
It has preached just one aspect of the gospel instead of the whole gospel.
Ja on olnud selline, on sellised kohti, kus ainult ühte aspekti evangeeliumit kuulutakse, mitte terve täis evangeeliumit.
In some places it has almost developed a kind of Holy Spiritism apart from Jesus.
On mõnedes paikades tekkinud on jäänud Eesti keeste keeles meid on üks sõna olemas. Jeesus on kõrvale heidetud, tekib ainult nagu püha vaim sellest kõneleme.
But I think it has been settling down, getting past its extremes.
Kui siiski praegu on seda järgides selline tunne, siiski see äärmuslikus kaob nii tasapidi nagu.
And I think it has made a very real contribution to all our lives.
Ja et ma usun, et see on olnud üks väga tõeline panus tervele.
It has been bringing release and joy into worship.
Ta on toonud Jumala teenistusse tõelisuse ja rõõmu.
We had so much solemn worship that was like at a funeral.
Meil on olnud nii palju neid Jumala teenistusi, mis on väga tarnased matused.
We forgot that the Holy Spirit. We forgot that the Holy Spirit is a happy
spirit.
And so I think the charismatic movement has opened up worship of the church. Certainly in the Catholic Church, it has had a widespread influence. And it has brought the experience of the Spirit to many Catholics. So, I think it's taking its place as one part of the world. In Australian Methodist Church, more pulpits are taken by lay preachers than by ordained.
Näiteks Austraalia Methodist kirikus rohkem jutustavad kantslist, ilmik jutustajad. We bought the year.
Our vast land is covered with this little Methodist church.
Meie suur maa on kaetud väikeste Methodist kirikutega.
In my first appointment in Australia,
näiteks minu esimeses koguses, kus on meie töötama,
I was responsible for 11 churches.
Ma olin 11 koguduse vastu.
I couldn't have possibly preached in 11 churches every Sunday.
Ma ei saanud ju igal pühapäeval 11 kirikus korra juttu.
And that was true of many places in Australia. So the lay preacher has had a tremendous contribution. And so we use lay preachers very much. We do not have what you call deacons.
Meil ei ole sellised
You see, Australian Methodism came out of British Methodism, not American.
Australia Methodism tuli British Methodism, not American.
So we don't have bishops.
Meil ei ole bishop.
Or even district superintendent.
Meil pole isegi mitte ringkonna superintendent.
And we don't have deacons.
Ja meil ei ole ka üldse diakon.
We do have lay preachers.
Meil on ilmikas.
So
many women lay preaches like my wife. But that is fairly recent. There were always some women preachers and lay preachers, but there are many more now in the last few years.
So this will be my thought of the
Now, women can be ordained. There are very few. But I think there will be more as the years go by. I shared in the ordination of ministers in California a little while ago. I was interested. There were 28 new ministers ordained that
day.
And one quarter of them were
women.
Desperately need the message that people must be born again. The Methodist Church and the Baptist Church has a great witness in the world today to make. I do not believe that any revival will come to the world without people being born again. People must be born again if we're going to get a revival. Being born again is essential for God's work. I have just come from Western Germany. The Lutheran Church believes, of course, that a child is baptized and is a Christian. But only 2-3% of Lutherans go to church. I do not think that the churches that do not emphasize conversion are getting very far. And I'm sure that God wants Methodism and Baptist churches to proclaim this truth of being born again. Now, you mentioned the difference between Baptist and Methodist. There are differences, but I do not see them as very profound. I know we differ on the question of believers' baptism. I'm sure our Baptist friends here will understand when I say I believe in the Methodist baptism of children. But that early baptism has to be confirmed by that child personally accepting Christ. It must be that coming as a believer personally to accept Christ. So I don't think we differ deep down. After all, a wedding ring doesn't make a marriage. It is only the symbol of the love between two
people.
I see the symbol of water, whether it's sprinkling on a child or immersion as an adult, as purely a symbol.
Minä vaatan niin lapsen ristimiselle veele kuin alakasvamisen veele kuin symbolina.
It's the Holy Spirit doing the work.
aga töötab
pühapäeval.
See on kõige.
The symbol in my view doesn't matter.
Minu arvates see sümbol ei määrata. Enne ühinemist kuulus metodisti kirikusse 10% Austraalia.
The Baptist number 1%. Therefore, the Methodist Church is very much more widely represented.
Sellega muidugi saame aru, et metodisti kirik on palju enam levinud.
There are Baptist churches which are very fine, called great choirs.
No, tõepoolest palju baptisti kirikud, mis on imel, ilusad, kahjud, koorid, täit, rahvas.
There are Baptist churches which are very weak.
On ka baptisti kirikud, mis on väga nõrk.
And the same is true of the Methodist.
Ja see sama käitumis on kirikud.
We have some great churches and some weak churches.
Suured kogudused ja väga
kogudused. Now, if you are meaning that Methodist churches are speaking in tongues and charismatic, that is very rare.
Kui sõnaga pidab silmas, et metodisti kogudustes on võõrkeeltega rääkimist või teid neid karismaatilisi avaldusi, siis see seda kohta väga harva.
There are some churches that emphasize this aspect.
On olemas küll mõningaid kogudusi, mis rõhutavad seda aspekti.
That was a very small number.
Kui nende arv on siis küll, mis on väik.
So I think your friend has a somewhat
teie sõbral oli kuidagi piiratud kogemust, et üksikud näed saavutada.